It's the morning of Tuesday, the 12th of April 2016, and this is going to be a bit of a difficult recording to make. I've made plenty of recordings recently. I haven't uploaded very many. I ended up slightly overwhelming myself with recordings on the guide dog training type genre, and so haven't ended up putting many of them up at all. But many of you will remember that about a week before I started training with my new guide dog, Geo, my previous one, my guide dog of 6.5 years, lovely, big, 50-kilo German Shepherd, Vance, retired. Vance had been in one way or another, whether just in the background or an active participant in, probably around 2,000 of my recordings on Audioboo. On many of them, I was walking with him in different places, whether in Richmond, where we live, in parts of central London, elsewhere in the country, even abroad in the Netherlands, in Germany. His own training with me at the beginning of our partnership was also the feature of a series of recordings charting our progress. When he was introduced to me, he was quite distressed. He didn't know who this person was. Why should he listen to me? And our training was quite difficult together. But our partnership grew into an incredibly strong one. He wasn't the most affectionate of dogs in terms of he wouldn't come up for cuddles. He wouldn't express his love for people most of the time, but he still had a way of showing it, showing his closeness when meeting somebody for the first time in a while. So when my mum came to visit, or a friend who he particularly liked, or when I came back from a holiday that I hadn't been able to take him on, or just by his actions, always ready to leap up, to come literally with a whisper. He could be sitting in the other room and I could call him, Vance, and he would come running. He always had an ear open, ready for action, ready to listen for that call. He was also always desperate to work. When he had to stop working on a few occasions because of injury, he literally leapt back into harness afterwards and would often do the best walk that he'd done in months. He was such a character. At work, he was quite grumbly, announcing himself to all sorts of people whenever they came past. And as such, he was known throughout our end of the building, and more widely, far better well known than me, including by people at the very top of the office. He visited numerous parts of government with me. We went to Parliament on a few occasions. He went on all sorts of modes of transport. I slightly regret not taking the opportunity to take him on an observation balloon last year in Bournemouth, but he went on pretty much everything else. Hovercraft, cable car, underground train, obviously, commuter trains, long distance trains, international trains, ferries to the Netherlands, a boat around the canals there, three sleeper trains, in fact. And he was always quite undaunted by them, happy to stand on the edge of a platform as a train came squealing in, barely flinching, He was quite stoical too. He had to have quite a lot of veterinary treatment, particularly in the final few years with me. And he always bore it so well, so strongly. He never particularly squirmed or squealed when with injections. He always seemed to have this trust in the vets that they would make him better. And that was still the case on Saturday. 4 years ago, he'd picked up a back injury, quite a serious back injury, a disc extrusion. And over time, I think that had been slowly but surely getting worse. He'd been on strong pain medication, and so he was able to work right up until his retirement on the first day of this year. He did his final walk with me on as New Year's Eve turned into New Year's Day, walking along the towpath in Richmond with fireworks exploding all around, and he worked beautifully. One of the best walks he'd done in a very, very long time. And then he was a happy dog in retirement with my parents, enjoying walks in the countryside in Bedbury Pineetum in the forest, trips to see my sister up in Lincolnshire. And it was up there on Friday night that his original injury relapsed. Sorry, that was my stomach squealing. His original injury relapsed, and that his right hind leg was effectively paralysed in a position where it was in the way all the time, and he couldn't stand unaided. But he still wanted to get on and do things, and he would pull himself around, apparently, but was in considerable pain. And even when taken back down south, back down to where my parents live, and given as much pain relief as they could possibly give him, he was still uncomfortable, still desperately trying to drag himself around and to do things. And it was decided that there was nothing more that they could do. And on Saturday night, he died. And it's very, very hard. So hard. And leaving him, although I knew that he, when he was retiring, that he was going to be fine with my parents. I know that they loved him as much as I loved him, and that they would do everything for him. And in fact, they virtually rewrote their lives around him in terms of what they did, when they did it. A new car was bought that could accommodate him. The house was virtually redecorated around him. So I knew that that would be fine. It was still incredibly difficult to leave him. I think what people forget with guide dogs is that they spend their whole time with you. In more latter years, I've sometimes left him for a week or so to go on holiday somewhere where I couldn't take him. But other than that, he was with me all the time. He came to work. He came literally wherever I went, to restaurants, to pubs, on trips throughout the UK. He saw the friends that I saw and was friends himself with many of them and with their dogs. And, of course, he had been the dog that changed everything, that gave me the confidence to go out and not to worry about nighttime coming. Before, I would have planned my whole life around making sure that I was back before it got dark when I couldn't see anything. He made my daytime mobility, when I do have some sight, so much safer and quicker. And again, gave me the confidence to go to places that I would never have thought of going alone to before. Going abroad alone, would never have done that without Vance. He did so much for me, and for that I'm so grateful. He also was, he as I said at the start, appeared on so many audio boos. My Twitter feed for all those years was named for him. He was a well-known guide dog, in some circles at least. So, although I knew that he had deteriorated a fair bit, and when I saw him last 2 weeks ago at Easter, he didn't have much feeling left in that leg, and was already stumbling on it. And whilst we were talking about how Christmas might work at the end of the year, I wondered, really, whether he would make it. But I still didn't expect this to come so soon, and nor did my parents. It's been a real shock. Immense shock, and there's such a huge hole in our lives now. Although I have Gio, who's been doing his best to distract me, whether for good or for bad at times. And I know that I need to get on with him in time. But he's such a different dog to Vance. And that's difficult in its own way. Trying desperately not to think, well, Vance would have done this differently when approaching a given situation or on a train as Gio squeals. He's not a quiet doggy. But then nor was Vance. He's so talkative. Often talking. It seemed, in sentences. He thought he was understood. So, this is really to mark the end of an era. Vance was with me for 6.5 years, and he lived for... That was just an alarm interrupting me. I said he lived for just over 3 months more, to the not-so-grand age of 8 years and 4 months. It seems so unfair, really. Such a gorgeous, brilliant dog, to only live for such a short amount of time. But his impact whilst here was huge, and we will always miss him. Always remember him.